Welcome back to Curated Advice on Better Living. And now your host, Khaled Sultan.
Welcome to another solo episode. I know this is mainly an interview podcast, but I like mixing things up. So if you haven't already, make sure to check out my other solo, which is episode 11 on journaling. It had a lot of good engagement, and I didn't realize how many people were actually wanting to start journaling, but didn't know how to approach it. So I covered all that on that episode. Luckily, it's something I've experimented with for many years. Anyways, this episode is about getting back into the groove or flow, or more so how to build momentum. And I'm going to be looking at a list titled 12 Simple Ways to Create Momentum in Your Day from a blog called Becoming Minimalist by Joshua Becker. So we'll go through the list and I'll comment on it, share what I have to say. And the reason for that is, and I'm sure you might relate to this unless you're Elon Musk, and that is you set some goals for the new year, you're pumped, you're motivated, and you just make a commitment to, I don't know, hit the gym 5 days a week. Maybe you also struggle to sleep, so you put your phone down 2 hours before bed, or you'll journal 3 pages every day. Whatever it is, basically you set goals and you start working toward them, and somewhere along the way, you lose momentum. It happens to all of us. It recently happened to me, and that's the reason I wanted to do this episode, and specifically now. You know, I came into 2022 ready to go, but from the first month, January had other plans. It came in swinging. Was that also the case for you? I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people, especially here in Doha, where a lot of people got COVID. They got the Omicron. So, you know, I had a buddy of mine who I'm not going to name. I remember just before New Year's, he was like, I'm going to a New Year's party and cases were going up. And I'm like, dude, you know, you might get it, right? And he's like, oh yeah, I know. Then I call him after New Year's, a few days after New Year's. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And he's like, you know, his voice was all raspy and he's like, I'm sick, man. I got COVID. And I'm like, oh, but you knew that before going to that party, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, was the party worth it? And he was like, yeah, it was sick. So I was like, okay, cool. Anyways, you know, I got COVID a second time, not from a party. And yes, I'm vaccinated. Thanks for asking. To car issues, to family commitments, to blah, 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 projects and deadlines, you name it. Life happens and I'm no different than anyone else. So the past 2 weeks, I've been home in my room sick, not really in the mood to do anything, yet alone something productive. And it was this period of mass consumption of content. I'm talking me in bed listening to podcasts, audiobooks, late nights on the couch going down a rabbit hole on YouTube, from videos on psychedelic toad venom to travel vlogs across Africa to NFTs and metaverse, you name it. I have probably seen it at some point during that period. Luckily for me, the same day I got symptoms, which was a burning throat, I was at my buddy Moby's farm and we had recorded an episode. So I had something to work with. It is out now, by the way, episode 12. There's been a lot of great feedback. Check out episode 12. So I released it 2 days later than the regular release date, which is Thursday. And honestly, I felt pretty bad about it. And perhaps you're thinking I'm being too hard on myself. This is my passion far more than being on the radio was, because I have creative freedom. Even though this is an indie podcast and I'm doing things on my own, I have a commitment to the audience. Maybe I also put it on myself and I put that pressure on myself because it gets me working, but nothing validates that commitment more than people reaching out on Thursday saying, hey, you know, where's the episode? And I felt like I had let them down. So this show is becoming a part of people's listening routine. Seriously, it means a lot. Anyways, what a way to start the podcast. I rambled on, but let's take a look at the blog, which I have right here in front of me. 12 simple ways to create momentum in your day from becoming minimalist. I'll include it in the show notes if you want to check it out. So the whole idea of this list is when you do your least favorite, most important task, as soon as you wake up, you get to spend the rest of your day knowing you've accomplished something difficult. And then easily you'll find energy and motivation to accomplish more enjoyable tasks. Hence, your confidence builds, momentum begins to grow, and the impossible becomes achievable. The last part was Joshua's words. I'm not sure I would agree with that, especially if you have the tendency to overestimate the things you'll get done. But more so, I'm all about small steps, like little wins. You don't want to sprint and pull a hamstring. You got to take time to properly warm up, ease into it, whatever it is you're doing before building up and going for it. You got to know where you're at. I hardly ever pulled an all-nighter in university because I would start early and chip away slowly day by day so I don't get overwhelmed close to the deadline, because I know what kind of person I am. All right, dude, so start with a list already. Okay, guys, I got it. Okay, so number one on the list is make your bed. And I agree with this. This is a simple, easy, quick thing you can do as soon as you get up. It's a good way to start the day, get your first win in for the day. There's a reason they emphasize this in the military. It sets the tone for the day. It's your first easy win. And I do it every day, but I hate to admit it, I don't always do it perfectly. So while I do it, not everything is perfectly tucked. My pillows aren't fluffed, and it's something to work on. Now, of course, before you get up and make your bed, if you reach for your phone and you start scrolling through social media, that also sets the tone for the day and not in the right way. And I'm guilty of that as well. You know, sometimes you just feel like you can't get out of bed. You lack the motivation to get out of bed. You want to keep sleeping. By the way, rule one reminds me of my buddy, Valerio, who's a soon-to-be pilot, super disciplined guy. And he once told me when he goes to someone's house and sees their bed and it's not done, that he gets a little pissed off. Because it's not that hard, as he would say. And he's right, it's not that hard. It really is an easy opportunity to get your first win for the day. But maybe his reaction is a little extreme. I know he might be listening to this right now. And I mean, to each is his own. But yeah, don't do it for my buddy Valerio. Do it for you. Make your bed first thing in the morning. I feel like Valerio is the embodiment of why all moms emphasize cleaning the house before a guest arrives. He's their nightmare. Valerio is coming to check if your bed is done. Number two on the list is cook your breakfast. The logic being sometimes just allowing yourself enough time to cook whatever, oatmeal or eggs, toast, make juice. It's enough to get the momentum in your corner. And I agree. I love making breakfast, yet alone cooking in general, which I find very therapeutic. And you can learn to cook anything off YouTube these days. I don't get it when people say I can't cook. You know, if you want to, you can. Just open YouTube, search a recipe. There you go. But there's something the blog doesn't take into account. What if you don't have breakfast? I don't know, maybe you intermittent fast and maybe the first meal you have is lunch. So for that, you could prepare a cup of coffee or tea in a mindful way. And now with this whole specialty coffee trend, there are levels to making coffee. If you want to make a ritual out of it, maybe you like grinding the coffee beans before each preparation and measuring things out to the gram for your V60 or Chemex or another one of those precise drip Japanese approaches to making coffee. People swear it tastes better than, say, regular drip coffee machines or a French press, which is what I used this morning. But I think maybe they just enjoy the process. And if that's the case, there's nothing wrong with that. The third thing on our list is take a shower. And that's even if you work at home in your PJs, like many people do or have done during COVID. And it's not just about being clean, which is important, but I don't know if you've noticed, there's something about showers that impact us on a psychological level. You ever see like a movie when someone commits a crime and there's this dramatic shower scene where they're hypothetically washing the crime or sin off of them? I don't know, it beats me, but yeah, that's my point. And I agree with number three on the list when it comes to taking a shower. If you work from home and you crawl out of bed in your PJs and suddenly start responding to emails or whatever you do, or like we said earlier, scroll through social media, it can be hard to transition into work mode. Oh, and people complain now that they feel like working from home, that they're doing more hours than they did in the office. That's because it's seeping into your life, into your private space, your sanctuary. You see, the whole morning routine of waking up, brushing your teeth, showering, breakfast, putting on your work clothes helps you to transition into work mode. And then vice versa when you come home and you take your clothes off and do whatever you do. By the way, I'm not in any way against working from home. In any way. Especially if you have to do a ridiculous commute. What an absolute waste of time. Seriously. Like an hour to go to work. So anyways, and the traffic just drives you nuts. You already show up to work stressed out. Forget about it. So consider showers as a way to shake off the funk. By the way, does anybody else play music while taking a shower? And do you ever put it on shuffle and then like the wrong song plays and you have to get out of the shower and dry your hands and change the song? I don't know. There's got to be a better method. Let me know. Shoot me a DM. Send me an email. My contact details are in the show notes. Okay, number four on the list is eat a healthy lunch. I would probably change that to eat healthy in general. Shoot for 80%, but this one is pretty straightforward. The logic being our choices can set us back for an entire afternoon. Think of this scenario. Have you ever during lunch break, you know, grabbed a junk food and you ate like burgers and fries and a Coke, and then you start feeling lethargic and unproductive the rest of the evening and you just want to go home and watch Netflix? So instead, when you become intentional about eating a nutritious meal, your body will be energized for the rest of the day. And your mind will take pride in that healthy accomplishment. These are small wins you should celebrate. You should celebrate it. If you had a healthy meal, you should celebrate it. Don't be hard on yourself. Even if you have to eat out, try making a better decision. Think of eating as fuel for your body. You know, once again, I agree with this, but I'm not always perfect. So if you see me out eating burgers and fries around lunchtime, which I might do occasionally, don't come yelling at me like, "Hey, that's the guy from Curated Advice podcast who told us to eat healthy. You goddamn hypocrite. I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you. But you know what this advice is specific to. Getting back into the groove, and sometimes there's a time and place to get a guilty craving. You know, nothing wrong with that. Extreme repression can backfire. It's an internal negotiation with yourself. Just don't overdo it. It's all about moderation. Sometimes I go for a bike ride and then I eat, peanut butter and chocolate ice cream. Sometimes, not always. Anyways, what's next on the list? Hit the gym, go for a run, or take a walk. Basically, what he's saying is exercise. The author says running has become one of his favorite afternoon momentum builders, and so was 45 minutes at the local gym before arriving at the office when he had time. And what he's recommending is for an effective short and full body routine is the Geek to Freak workout routine. I might have to check it out. I don't know it, so I'm not recommending it. But I 100% agree that exercise is crucial in feeling good. It's a release of endorphins. But don't get caught up in the details. Many people struggle to find the motivation to exercise to begin with. So if that's you, just do something you're likely to stick with. For me, it's not the gym. One thing COVID taught me, probably the only good thing about the pandemic, and I hate saying that, there's hardly anything good about the pandemic, was you don't need a gym to get a good workout. I learned to get creative. So I started doing bodyweight programs. Eventually, I did Move Strong Now by Strength Side. Highly recommended. There's a good focus on mobility. Don't need much equipment except a pull-up bar and some resistance bands, so it's practical. And yeah, I also do jiu-jitsu now that things are open, and I recently started biking, and I'm falling in love with it. I mean, I knew how to bike when I was a kid, but now I'm biking again. So I got a bike rack on my car, found a cycling track. This reminds me of a story of what happened when I was younger. Sorry, Dad, for sharing this, but nobody hates road cyclists as much as my dad does. So one time he was driving in New Zealand, and there was a swarm of cyclists taking up the whole road. Literally taking up the whole road where cars drive. And in New Zealand, especially where I live, the roads are tight and windy, you know. And my dad's driving super slow and people behind him are honking, and he loses it. He rolls down the window and he yells, "This is why you die. This is the reason you die." And I was a kid, I was so embarrassed. Like, I lived in a small suburb where everybody knows each other, but now I don't care. I look back and laugh. I live for these kind of moments. I feel like cities should invest in dedicated tracks or lanes just for cyclists. The roads have massive vehicles operated by humans. I mean, that's risky, dude. And I'm going on a tangent. This is a side effect of COVID, I swear. But yes, the point is exercise. Make it a habit. Do what you enjoy, even if it's going for a walk and listening to this podcast. Promoting your podcast on your podcast to people already listening to your podcast. Nice. Nice, dude. I just did that. Okay, number 6 is to create a to-do list. The author says it helps him with attention and motivation, and I agree. This can work well in the morning, maybe part of your journaling routine. I have a whiteboard on my desk divided into different sections, one of them being today. So that's where I put my daily to-do list. But if you want to expand on things, you can do it in your journal. So if I'm recording an episode with a guest, I might write 6 p.m. record with Mike. I don't have space on my whiteboard to elaborate the topics, and so while I'm journaling, I could expand on it because I don't script or write any questions down for interviews. And people expect me to show up with a list of questions. In my opinion, it takes away from the authentic and artistic element of a conversation. And, you know, I've done this professionally. I have enough faith in my abilities to navigate a conversation. So yeah, I'm all for to-do lists. It will help you get a sense of clarity for the day, even if it's mundane things like needing to pick up some eggs or change the oil in your car. There's always something to do, and these little things can add up. So write them down, and then crossing them off gives you confidence. Hence, you're building the momentum again. Okay, number 7 is complete an enjoyable or challenging activity. Okay, this is a lot to unpack. So here he's saying we all have things we enjoy doing more than others. When you sense your productivity beginning to fade, choose something productive to complete. I have to interject here. Not everything has to be productive in that sense. Spending time in nature isn't necessarily productive by the traditional sense, but it's good for the soul. So you can look at it that way. If it adds value to your life, maybe that's what you need. And if something adds value to your life, does that make it not productive? I don't know. There's a time and place for everything. Rest is equally as important, and that's something I'm trying to learn to not be too hard on myself. The reason I always say start small, do your bed, make a coffee, journal, make a list. Links back to clinical psychologist Dr. Jordan Peterson, who spoke about this in his book 12 Rules for Life. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. I read it years ago as soon as it came out. He says you should start by thinking about one small thing you can negotiate with yourself to do, something you'll likely succeed in doing. Maybe organize your desk, take out the trash. You see, that's a little win. And often one thing leads to another, and that's what builds momentum. Take dishes, for example, a chore most people hate, including myself, but usually if you can at least get yourself to start, eventually you'll get through it, right? I just did dishes before recording this and God, I hate it. You know, by the way, my tip for dishes, and this worked for me when I was living with my brother in New Zealand, it was when you eat, just do your dishes right then and there. That way they don't pile up and you'll stay on top of it, basically. Like anything, if you ignore it for too long, eventually you'll have to face it, right? Car issues. You don't get that one thing fixed, eventually it spirals out of control. Okay, from what I remember, and this is it in a nutshell, probably the shortest version you'll ever hear of this story, but you'll still get the wisdom. There was a little boy who had a little dragon in his closet. He would tell his parents about it, and they would say, "There's no dragon. Don't be silly. Dragons don't exist. Dragons don't exist. Santa doesn't exist." You know how parents are. Well, eventually they began to influence him and he started saying things like, "There's no dragon, there's no dragon." Guess what? The dragon continued to grow in his closet and he would say it day after day, "There's no dragon," until eventually the dragon became too big for the closet, outgrew it and the house, and his head and limbs and tail were sticking out of the windows of the house, forcing the little boy and his family to finally accept the existence of the dragon. You see, they had no choice, and denying it wasn't going to change the fact that there was a dragon. And only when the boy finally acknowledged the menacing, fire-breathing dragon did the dragon shrink back down to a cute little baby dragon. That's how the story goes off the top of my head, but the point is, little problems, if ignored, will eventually grow into bigger problems, which you'll be forced to face. I'm going to link it back to the dishes. One dish leads to a sink full of dishes, and then those dishes become filthy. And if you live with other people, that might become a fight. Look, I've had roommates before, and if people are not on top of their stuff, not on top of the cleaning and their obligations, it can get a little tense. And nobody has time for that. So yeah, complete a small task, start small, and build momentum. Don't let the dragon grow. And to be frank, the next things on the list all seem to sort of build off of each other, like there's an overlap in some way. So take number 8, for example, which is 5 minutes to clean up one small area in your environment. I agree with that. It's a no-brainer. He says to remove distractions by clearing off your desk or bookcase, clean your surfaces, or quickly sort out your drawers. And with the clutter removed, you'll be more efficient. That's actually true. You know, being in a tidy or well-organized environment can help you clear your head. So clean your room because it's the only thing you have control over, the immediate space around you. I never understood this, but even when you declutter things hidden out of sight, like in your drawers, things that you can't see, you actually feel lighter. Logically, it would make sense if it's a pile of things like right there where you're forced to see it, like a pile of clothes. But if it's hidden away, like how does that work? I don't know, but from personal experience, it does. And there's a whole show about it on Netflix. You've got Marie Kondo, the Japanese lady, teaching people how to declutter their living spaces. And then, you know, she's bowing and respecting objects. That's that whole Shinto faith thing. Anyways, then for number 9, he says write 750 words. And 750 words is pretty specific. But once again, the point is journaling. The process of sitting down to write things does help you clarify your thoughts. And you'll find it therapeutic. Probably more momentum building than you actually ever expected. But find a way to make it work for you. That's what I'm all about, personalizing things, because everybody's different. And I think the reason he says 750 words is it's more tangible than saying write things down or journal. But if you're trying to get back into the groove or come out of a rut, journaling can be your best friend. Okay, so number 10, he says wash the dishes after dinner. Like I said earlier, if you can try to do it after every meal, I know it's hard, but do it. Because imagine after dinner, you're in a food coma and you have dishes piling up from the full day and you might not even have the motivation nor the mental energy to do it. And then you wake up the next day with a sink full of dishes and you're forced to face the dragon you ignored. Then the blog goes on to number 11, reset your home before going to bed. So find a simple 10-minute evening routine that works for you and your family. He's assuming everybody has a family around. Somebody told me this recently. Plants are the new pets. Pets are the new children, and children are for the rich. So not everybody has a family around. But anyways, he goes on to say you'll end your day on a note of accomplishment and start your morning with a clean slate. And your mind will be less cluttered at the office tomorrow if your living area is less cluttered at home. You see what I mean? My problem is that now the list is kind of overlapping. In fact, if I had to write this list on my own, I would have probably done it more condensed, like literally a few points, 6 points maximum, because this overlaps with, you know, cleaning your space or and the dishes and this overlaps with that. And it's just starting to feel like there's a word count and you're in university and you just start saying the same things, but in a fancier way. Finally, number 12 is make out with your spouse, which is cool and all, but what does that have to do with momentum? And what if you're single? I'm not, but if you are, then that isn't helpful. You see, that's what happens when you try to force things or drag things out. And I don't know if the blog is paying the guy, if it's sponsored, so they kind of push this on him. And I know what that's like, you know, being in radio or being in professional media where you have a certain time limit and you have to fill it on a specific topic. And in my case, and I can do that. But it's sometimes there's nothing more to say that adds value on a specific topic. There were a lot of great points on this list and practical suggestions, some of which I already do to get back into the flow, and they work for me. Like waking up, making coffee, and journaling, making a list of things and then crossing them off, exercise, a good night's sleep. Last night I slept earlier than usual for the first time. You know, that hardly ever happens to me, and that's one of my struggles, sleep. So any suggestions are welcome. I've tried everything. And the thing I want to leave you with, and it's to myself as much as it is for you, that simplicity is key. Simplicity is key, and because if something is simple, we're more likely to succeed, and that's likely to give us confidence, and so on and so forth, as opposed to a very hard goal and shooting for that, and then you fall, you know, you don't achieve it, and then you feel bad about yourself. But in the grand scheme of things, you've still achieved something on the way. So celebrate the small milestones. I've recently recorded a podcast, which will be out soon, hopefully next week, with a really inspirational guy, Michael Anderson. He's a dirt biker, and you know, he's had two knee surgeries. He went through a rough period, but then eventually during his recovery, he said that he was using the little milestones, the little wins in his recovery process to give him motivation and drive, and he would build off of that. It's normal to lose momentum and to feel like everything is, you know, you're losing grip and everything is going bad, but don't let it spiral. You know, a few bad days, it's fine. A few bad weeks, it's fine. Months, years, it's not the end. You know, you can always pick yourself up and keep going. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you. Let me ask you, how do you build momentum? What works for you? Let me know. My email and Instagram are in the show notes. I'm really happy to hear from you. This is a learning process for all of us, for this community. That's what this community is about. It's about, look, I mean, at the end of the day, this podcast is about real life. And it's talking to real people about real problems and real achievements and real stories. And that's what it really is. Life isn't, you know, roses and sunshine and this glamorous life. Not all of us live that kind of life. Most of life is mundane. Most of life is hard. Most of us go through the same struggles, similar struggles. So that's what this podcast is about, talking to real people. It's not about having people on that are influencers or have this many followers. It's real people that have some of the most unique stories. I mean, trust me, if there's something else you should take away from this, and I know it's not linked to momentum, you know, always assume that someone you're talking to might know something that you don't already know. Whether it's a security guard at your work, whether it's the garbage man, whether it's a waiter, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's an elderly person. You know, people have unique stories. These are the people you want to talk to. There's so many hidden gems. And that's the goal of this podcast, is I'm uncovering these hidden gems for myself and for you. Anyways, once again, that's another tangent. If there's anything, if you enjoyed the episode, if there's anything else you want to hear about, anything, just reach out. This is a community. If you really enjoyed this episode, you found value, also share it with someone you know. Let's build the community. Good luck. Start small, and hopefully you'll build the momentum. We'll be back. All right. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to Curated Advice on Better Living. It's our passion to interview guests on their experiences to bring you different perspectives on personal development, on everything from healthy habits to mindset to relationships to functional movement and biohacking. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've gotten some information that can change your mindset. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, we'll leave you with this from Bruce Lee.
Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.